been to Auckland to do work and worked in a team that Kim was leading, and we became friends. We realized that we shared faith, and then many, many years later, you know, God doesn't waste anything. He invests into the development of friendships and sows seeds for future time. And so even now as I'm saying that, I'm thinking, look around you. The people that you're going to get to know in this family, God is building connections for his kingdom for far beyond this week or this month or this year. And Kim's a friend like that. Doesn't matter where we are in the world, I know that I can turn and count on him. And we've done ministry together, we've run conferences together, we've prayed for people and seen God release promise and destiny into people's understanding and comprehension, and it's a gift that he carries. So I'm really excited that he's with us this morning. He came down and spent Friday night with us. The guys met on Friday. We had plenty of meat, and what surprised me most was the salad got all eaten. Like, Jamie made this beautiful salad, two bowls of it, and I was like, you're hopeful. But it was all gone. What do you know? The guys ate the salad on Friday night. So Kim came and he ministered to us and spoke, and what I'm believing for this weekend is that he's going to partner with what we're doing here, but he's going to partner with what God's doing here, and he's going to release something prophetically into our realm, and I pray that you have eyes and ears to hear it, see it, and a heart to catch it. Kim, why don't you come? Give him a warm welcome, everybody. It's Kim.
One, two, one, two.
There you go.
We're all on. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're such a good, 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 good daddy. Thank you, Dad. Just close your eyes and really just think of our Father in heaven as your daddy. Someone said to me once, how can you call him your daddy? He's a father. Father has kids, sons and daughters, children. That's you and me. So, Daddy, we just love you this morning. We send our hearts to you, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord, that yesterday when we stuffed up, you were there and you gave us a hug. That tomorrow when we stuff up, you'll be there and you'll give us a hug. Tomorrow when we step out, you'll be there nudging us along, just like a little kid taking their first steps, Father. You're behind us, ready to catch us, but you're also there willing us on, encouraging us, talking to us, speaking to us, saying, yeah, go for it, son. Go for it, daughter. Go for it, my precious child. We thank you, Daddy, and we love you. We love you this morning. I just want to summarize a couple of words that were shared on Friday night. And then I want you to share them with the person next to you. When God made everything, and he made the universe, and he said, what did he say? It's good. And then he made earth and put some trees on it and a few rivers. And what did he say?
It was good.
It was good. And he said, yo, it's a bit boring here. I'm going to make a few fat animals and some tall ones and some little bugs that'll be annoying in the years to come. And we'll make special sprays to stop them getting you in your motel last night. And what did he say?
It was good.
And then he said, you know, there's still something missing. And so he made man and woman. He made mankind. He made his children. And then he said, oh my gosh, I've stuffed up. Is that scriptural? No? He said, well, that was a reasonable job, but maybe second time around I'll do it better. What did he say?
Very good.
It was good. See, God doesn't make mistakes with people. He does not create someone out of his image and then say, my image has got flaws in it. He doesn't say, I wish I'd made that person better because I could have done it better, because God does things perfectly every time. Amen? So every person in this room is perfect. Every person in this room is perfect. So I want to do just a couple of things to break the ice for me. It's been 2 years since I've preached. I've been out in the world learning some new stuff for me personally, going on my own journey, stepping out in trepidation. So I just want to break the ice a little bit this morning. I want you to stand up, turn to the person next to you, and say, you are 100% perfect. That was only three words. So I want you to find a different person and say, I want you to find a different person and say, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Sorry? I want you to go back a couple of rows and find another person. And I want you to try something. It's called, wow, you are awesome. Go and tell someone, wow. And then on your way back, if you want to move back, you may have found a new friend and you want to sit next to them, that's okay. Just ask their husband or wife that it's okay to sit with them, but that's fine. But on your way back, I just want you to tell another person, your daddy loves you 100%. And it's your daddy. It's your daddy. It's like your father is speaking through you. And just as you sit, I want you to understand another really important truth about Daddy's kids, you and me. And that is, I'm standing up here on the stage. I did ask if I could stand on the floor, and there's a reason for that, but you'll understand it. Phil said, you're all too old and blind to see if I don't stand up here, so that's why I'm up here. Well, some of you are. But I need to tell you now that I'm a son of God who likes to talk a bit. I'm not better than you because I'm a preacher. I'm not better than you because I was an elder in a church. I'm not more senior to you in God's family. Each one of us is equal at the foot of the cross. Each one of us is equal before God. Each one of us is unique in our calling. I spoke to at the men's meeting on Friday night. I went to the meeting and I said to this young chap, I said, where do you work? I can't remember the name of the company, so I can't do a free sales ad here, but he worked in a tire company. And I said, how many staff you got there? And he said, oh, 19, 20. And I said, you know, Phil is never going to meet those 19 or 20 people. He's not going to be able to preach to them. They're not going to come to church willingly so that he can do the Roman road with them and hold them to the ground and get them to praise Jesus. The perfect person to bring God's love and truth to those 19 to 20 men or women in his office is him. Yeah. He is uniquely created by God with the necessary gifts right now to transform that office. And in this room, there are 100 and something people who are beautifully and fearfully made, wonderfully made, unique by God without mistake for a purpose, and you're in the right place at the right time to do something the church can't do. This building can't transform the city. My preaching here on a Sunday morning can't transform the city. You can. You can. You can transform your family. You can transform your kids. You can transform your husband or wife. You can transform your workplace. You can transform your sporting group, your mother's group, your university, your school, your playground. Because you are there. God's in you. God flows through you, so therefore you are the thing that's going to change the city. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. But I just want you to remember, all of us are perfect and all of us are equal. So I like to stand down there because I'm just one of you. I just happen to talk a lot sometimes. Can I have an amen to the you're it? Yeah. This building will never change anything. It's lovely to meet. Oh, that was the other thing. Sorry. If the highlight of your week as a Christian is to come to church, to listen to some lovely worship, thank you very much, to listen to some average preaching from Phil, if that's the highlight of your week, God help you. This is a place to restore, to train, to fellowship, to encourage, to equip, to have a little party, a little refresher course. It's the halftime where we suck on some nice oranges before we go out and play the game. The game's out there. The highlight of your week should be what happened on Tuesday at the playground. And you need to get used to the fact that when you're sitting in there after church having a coffee and you're saying, you know, my daughter went to the gym this week and she did a three-point turn with a double roll and she got 7 out of 10. You're going to get used to the fact that you're going to start talking about the fact that my daughter was at gym the other day and she prayed for a girl with a swollen ankle and she got healed. I was in the office, I mean, even us on our way down, we went to visit a businessman in Hamilton on the way down, who I wanted to encourage. I've only met him once, and we were sitting there having coffee, because I said to him, we're not going to do any work today, we're just going to chat and have coffee and encourage one another. And halfway through it, he says, you know, you need to come into my business right now, upstairs, and pray for my business. And so himself, his secretary, Patrick and I, went upstairs and we prayed for 20, 30 minutes, had some words about some stuff that might be going on, a little bit of revelation. I don't know what difference it will make, because it's not me doing the work. But I was there offering encouragement and standing side by side with a man and a woman who wanted to let God be in their business, who wanted to let God be in their marriage, and felt a blockage. So you're that person. Not me. Not Phil, not Kathy, love them both. Not the worship leader. It's you. And so I think you've got there's a change coming in the church. And some churches haven't changed their strategy for 120 years. Not this one, luckily. But some Christians have got nothing different in their life this year to 5 years ago or 20 years ago. And I'm not being critical. I'm telling you about a change that is happening in the world. And the church is meant to be at the forefront of it, not at the bum end of it. You are the forefront of change. This church is not a place for you to settle. It's a place for you to step out from. Yeah? It's a place for you to step out from. This church is not a place... I've got to get the right word on this one, excuse me. I just got it before for you. This has nothing to do with the message I was going to share, which is always good. This church has got to be a place where you're no longer inviting people, but you're invading people. Think of word of invasion. If you think of the history, I Googled it this morning, and now I'm completely off track, so that's really fantastic. Do you know what Te Awamutu means? Who's Googled it?
End of the river.
End of the river, but what does that mean? Why was it the end of the river? Why was Te Awamutu the end of the river? Yeah, because it was blocked. Now, if I were to say to you, hallelujah, you live in a place where the river stops and becomes dead. It's not a very nice prophetic word, is it? And someone's prayed this morning someone mentioned the river on the worship team. And although we can get hung up on words and stuff like that, if you were at the dead end of the world, you wouldn't want to say you live there. And I think prophetically, there is actually a moment right now to say that the river has got to flow again in this place, out into Te Awamutu, out into New Zealand. The river has got to be unblocked. It actually says, there's another version, probably some English person wrote this one, said, it's the place, the river that is not navigable. You cannot navigate it. And if you can't navigate it, you don't know where you're going, you don't know how to get there, there's no vision. And what happens when you have no vision? People perish, people cast off restraint, there's chaos. Where is the world going to get its directions and guidance from, if not the church? Where is it going to get the way through problems? Where is it going to get the way through marriage issues, children, drugs, lack of love, violence? Where are they going to get it from if the church does not know where it's going? This church is a navigator church. It was planted here, I understand, in revelation and success, and change and transformation. Churches can often go through a period where we become pioneers, we do amazing things, and then we think, oh, we'd better settle here now and build something. And there are a lot of great movements of God where God comes through people and moves, and we love it so much we turn it into a monument. And we stand there and we worship the monument. We're not meant to stop and worship the monument. We're meant to keep moving with God. There's no age limit to moving with God. There's no skill level. There's no talent level. There's no mobility level. There is nothing. The youngest child in that creche back there is as powerful in God and ability to transform the world as the oldest person in this church, the most anointed person in this church. I'm talking to me. Okay? No judgment here. No judgment in Christ. This church is time is to change. Be bold and courageous. Be bold and courageous. Now, we're at the men's meeting again on Friday, we had a word for Patrick. Gosh, I said this morning I was getting things around the wrong way. I got a word for you as well, Patrick, but by the way. Word for Phil, and it was to be patient. To not be pushed by people, to not be pushed by movements, to not be pushed by prophetic preachers pushing you today, but to be patient together and find God's heart for this place. But I have another word this morning, and patience doesn't mean inactivity. Okay? A big container ship flying through the water. You can't change its direction unless it's moving. There's got to be little steps taking place, little movements taking place, little actions taking place, little seeds sown from this church as the direction unfolds, as the navigation directions unfold, where you start to find the reefs and the things where people are breaking up on that you can start to sow and build into. But you've got to be moving. Way, way, way off track. Way, way, way. Way, way, way. Can you stand, Phil and Kathy? And the rest of you, can you stand, please? And I don't know how you do this in this church. If friendly people are allowed to come and lay hands on you and not so friendly people have to be 10 metres back, I'm not really sure. But if you know these people and you love them and you're behind them, I want you to at least take a step forward towards them. And if you're close enough to lay hands on them, please do so. Okay? If you would do that for me, please. I'm not looking to see who's not taking a step forward or sideways, but I'm looking for a commitment. You know, when Joshua was commissioned by God to take God's people across the river, God told him, be bold and courageous. I've gone before you. I've prepared the way. There's something over there that is so juicy and fantastic that you are just going to love it. It's everything you need. And then he tells the people. And the people say to him, you know, be bold and courageous. So can you just raise your hands? And I just want you to say, be bold and courageous. Okay, now that's going to inspire a fly to move. Be bold and courageous.
Be bold and courageous.
Phil and Kathy, be bold and courageous.
Phil and Kathy, be bold and courageous.
Leadership of this church, be bold and courageous.
Leadership of this church, be bold and courageous.
Men and women who come to this church, be bold and courageous.
Men and women who come to church, be bold and courageous.
Okay, just drop your hands down, but now just receive. Everyone just receive. Father, we just pray, Lord, just a release of that courage now, a release of that boldness. We just cast out all fear in the name of Jesus. We just let the love of God, the strength of God, the victory of the kingdom of heaven over the kingdoms of this earth, we declare that in this place. We declare that into any areas, Lord, that would be holding this family, this community, this time bomb of your power and influence and love, Father. We just break anything holding it back now. As the song said, we break the chains in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We just declare victory. Victory. We declare freedom into this church. We declare freedom into people's lives, into marriages. We declare restoration, Lord. We declare restoration because where there is unity, God commands a blessing. He commands a blessing. So we just release blessing over this church. Blessing into finances. Blessing into outreach, Father. Blessing into influence. This is a place of influence. It's an invader church. We are invaders. We are warriors in Jesus' name. We just release that warrior spirit now. That warrior spirit, if that speaks to you, just raise your hands and say, Daddy, make me a warrior. I've been too passive for years. I'm not here to sit in the pew. I'm here to chop up the pew, put it on fire, and make a big burning fire that will attract people to God's love. We want this warrior spirit, Daddy, and we raise it up now. We open our hearts to it, Lord. We are warriors. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Daddy, I just ask, Lord, that you would just speak to people right now. you would just minister to them, Lord, that you would just pour out your love into areas of past hurts or disappointments or misunderstandings. You know, the one thing about the past is that there's no future there. The one thing about the past is that there's no future there. So today, Lord, this second, this moment, we choose to look forward. We choose to lift our heads and to look up to you, Daddy. We choose to look out the windows of this auditorium and look out at the possibilities. We choose to see things in a new way with your eyes, Daddy. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for that. If you wouldn't mind returning to your seats, just it was something that just felt to do this morning. I don't know that whether that will help or negate my story, but we'll see what happens. You know, when Jesus preached and Paul preached and a lot of those, everyone wasn't sitting in the pews with their Bibles checking the written word to make sure he was spot on. He told from stories. He told from stories that had been passed down from their parents. Some of the stuff was written, but he told in stories about things that were applicable at the time. And so I just want to tell a little story, and I need some volunteers for this. It's only going to be about 10 or 15 or 2 hours, I'm not sure, 10 or 15 minutes. So I need 6 volunteers. You will not be embarrassed. You'll get to use your creative skills in front of your brothers and sisters. And if I don't get 6 volunteers, I'll choose you. So if you, the first 6 people to the left-hand corner over there, some of you are going to be leaders today. So I need 2 leaders, quickly. I need 2 pioneers. I need 2 faithful people, just to represent the church. We've got 1, 2, come on, keep going. 3, we're on fire now. 4, getting there. Hurricanes. If you do this, the Chiefs will win the super competition this year. 2 more. Here we go. Yeah. 1 more. If you just want to sort of gather just around the corner slightly, and I just want to warn you, you're going to come up on stage and have to do a few little things. And so please be careful of the sound system, the preacher, the drums, the overhead projector, all those things. Okay. Between now and the beginning of the story, hopefully we'll get 1 more. Yay. Thank you, Lord. Now, didn't we say you had to step out and not settle? And so what a hard work it was to get 6 people to step out. If you've got to get 6 people to step out in the church by bribing them with free coffees next week, then how on earth are we going to go out and transform the world? I'm just saying. It's our choice. No amount of preaching, no amount of beating you with men's ministry or women's ministry or youth ministry is going to make an ounce of difference if you don't respond. If you don't say, hey, God, here I am. I'm sick of where I am. I love my family. I love my wife. I love my job. But for goodness sake, isn't there more to life than this?
Yeah.
You know? One of the nicest prayer meetings we ever had, we're talking in businesses, we're going to pray. I'll be with you in a minute. Just keep limbering up if you can, you know, a bit of vocal training, whatever it is that you do. We were going to pray into a man's business, and he'd been really busy, and it just never really happened. And then one night he rang up on a Wednesday night, and he said, I've just had the worst sales month in our career ever. Really successful business. Everything's gone to custard. I don't know what's going on. Something's going wrong. Will you come and pray? So on the Thursday night, we got a couple of people together. We went to his office. We prayed. And to cut a long story short, in many prophetic words, we felt there was a spirit of undermining in the business. And we prayed against the spirit of undermining. We told the enemy to get out, basically. And we went home. Next morning, 9 o'clock, get a phone call. And the guy says to me, what did you do in my office last night? He says, because 2 hours after you prayed, 2 of my staff members came into the office, cleared their desks, and resigned. And the following weekend, this was Thursday, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, their real estate company was their best sales weekend in the history of their business. He stepped out and asked for help. We stepped out, praying in faith. God backed it up and did an amazing thing. It's the stepping out that counts. In Wellington, there used to be an L.V. Martin and Sons ad that said, it's the putting right that counts. He's used to sell whiteware. It's the stepping out that counts in Christianity. It's the saying hello to the person at the petrol pump that makes a difference. It's the person in the office saying, are you actually okay? Did you have an okay weekend? Do you mind if I pray for you? And even hiding in the toilet and praying for them is better than not praying at all. It's the stepping out that counts. Amen?
Yeah, good.
Amen? Okay, so my story. Joshua, be bold and courageous. Lead these people. So today, two of you are going to be the leadership team of any church but this church. Because you're about to go through change. You need to know some of the things that are going to happen. Okay? So first of all, who's my head leader and who's my secondary leader? One of you, there we go. You're going to be a leader. That's a staff of wisdom and knowledge. Not a stick for beating the sheep. It's a staff of wisdom. Okay, you're my two leaders today. So what happens when Joshua... I'll invite you on in a second. What happens when Joshua instructs the people to cross the river? What happens first? See, Bibles are no good unless you've read them. It says the priests go into the water first. We're going to go in first. Okay, the priests, the leadership are going to go in first. And so the priests come across. They step into the Jordan, up you come. They step in. The water's now at your back, so you better be standing there holding it back. Because the river stops, doesn't it? The river stops. They come in here. So you're holding the river back.
Okay.
Okay, you're holding it back. So you do lots of actions that look like you're holding thousands of millions of liters of trees and water, and they're holding back. See, when the leaders, when the church starts to move, it is going to be led by your leaders. Your leaders need to say, we're going across to something new. So they take a risk. Come. That's it. They're taking a risk. They're holding back a river, a torrent of trouble, so that you can go across. Look after your leaders. Protect them, pray for them, help them. Because they're standing here right at the moment.
Yeah.
Free talent, eh? They're standing here right at the moment, holding back a whole lot of trouble so that you can actually go and do the things that you're called to do. Because you ain't called to stand on the riverbank like these people. They're wanting to get to the other side to do something new, to get some excitement in their life, to go invade this town. And over here is this town.
Yeah.
Here's where you are now. There's Te Awamutu. How are you going to get there? The river's stopped because the leaders made a way for you.
Yeah.
Okay? So they are visionaries, but they've stopped halfway because they're trying to make a way for you to go forward. So keep holding it back.
Yeah.
And then there's this group of people, you two if that's all right, who would like to hold the binoculars? Now, we're going to take the caps off so they can actually see things, because a lot of people who think they see things have actually still got caps on their binoculars. That's for free. I didn't write that one down. And you get this next group of people, and they're called the pioneers. That's cool. Noise, background noise. And the pioneers see the opportunity to start doing something new in the church. And they cross over quickly, the first to go. So can you come across, don't trip over anything, please. We don't have OSH approval for this ad, for this little play. So we're rushing across to the other side. We're into the river. We come up the other side. The promised land. So we start looking. And pioneers are wonderful people. Keep holding it back. They're going to drown otherwise. There's still people who haven't come across. The pioneers are looking. The pioneers are going, I could start a men's group over there. I could do a coffee club. Why don't we do outreaches to the poor? Why don't we do a team to Malawi? Why don't we do this? Where is the rest of the people? Why aren't they coming? Hopeless people. Even the leaders are behind me now. I've gone past the leaders. I'm so good. Aren't we good? We're past the leaders. They're old news now. And we get people in the church, and I'm one of these, and Phil would be, except he's now a leader. So he's stuck in the water. But I'm one of these. It's like, oh, I want to go do this. And what about going to the marketplace and change the world? And you want to do an offering on Sunday? That's so boring. What are you doing back there, leaders? Don't you see what I'm doing? So we can be amazing people because we're the first to cross. But we're also the biggest pains in the offering basket that there are because we just want to keep going. We want to keep going. And if you're imagine now we're an army. So the scouts have gone across. You're now the scouts of the invading force of this church. So you're looking. You're saying, we could go there. What about there? Watch out for that danger. Okay? So if the scouts go on and take on that danger, what happens to them? Come on. There's only two of them. He might be a big boy, and this is a very strong lady, but there's a whole army out there. If the scouts, if the pioneers go on by themselves into the world to make a difference, they're going to die.
Yeah, good word.
Speaking to me now.
Yeah, good word.
Shh, don't take it too seriously. So the pioneers have to set the example, go across, have a look and say there's exciting stuff out there. You know what our leaders are doing for us is good. Come and join us. Come and join us. But don't do it yet. Don't do it yet. And they stop and they wait for everyone to come across. Because if they go ahead on their own, you will know people, you will know people, I know people, who have gone ahead, who have gone ahead from the church and have gone, you know, I'm missing family now. I need something else. I'm going to die by myself. I need family. You pioneers need family, okay? So when you've seen something new, your next job is to go, you know, I've seen something better. I'm now going to help my family come across with us so we can enjoy this together.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. So some of you are sitting there going, now, I'm a pioneer. I want to be that person, which is good. We love you.
Yeah.
You're a pain, but we love you. Meanwhile, the leaders
are
still holding back this torrent of water, thinking,
Their arms are getting tired.
If you're a leader in this church, they're getting tired. Thank you. And what do you think about those pioneers over there? Thank you. I'm jealous. I'm envious because I was actually the one who started this thing. I got into the water first, didn't we?
I got into the water first, Jeanine.
Yeah. And they're gone across. Now, key point for leadership as this thing starts to move. What happens if the leaders go with the pioneers?
There's no way for the rest of the church to follow.
Everyone gets left behind. Big torrent of water goes. Four of you can have a little happy party over there, but you made no blooming difference to the world at all. Go get a job. Okay? Yep, cool. So the leaders are still here, but you've got to be secure. You've got to trust that when everyone's across, you can then go to your next level. You took the first step. You released some people. You set them on fire. Some of them will keep going and never come back. That's okay. Some of them will keep going and then stop and say, hey, you people over here, come and join us. Now the last group, and we love this group, don't we?
Yeah.
We love this group because they're the faithful ones, the faithful followers. We love them because you can go over there and have a little campfire, but unless you bring the whole group of people with you, the families, the faithful, you can't establish anything on the other side. You can't build a city, you can't build a camp over there unless you've got food and water and energy and commitment and spiritual muscle. Okay, so the faithful followers who love to look after people, care for them, they carry the food, they carry the camp gear, you know, they set up the building probably every morning. They've been doing this for years, and I'm saying this with love. I'm just adding a little bit of cheekiness to try and set the, what we often think of. So people like me who are moving, really? You're still there? Would you like to come across now? Thanks. Cool. It'll be really good. So they're going across. Thanks. Okay. Whew. It's a hard crowd, this lot. So now, isn't this a better picture? The pioneers have gone across. They've seen something good. They've waved back to the rest and said, come on, it's actually safe to walk through the river. And the reason it's safe is the leaders are still holding back a torrent of trouble. What happens next? Some leaders drown. Yeah. Would you like your leaders to come with you now? Yeah. Could you go and join them now? So now we've moved. Have a little party there because it says they got a few rocks together and did some praying and had a party and had a few barbecues of some buffalo and, you know, had some nice fruit and whatever. They had a great fun. They made a monument to the fact that they'd crossed. And then the books after Joshua is the invasion. But isn't this a happy family over here now? They were over here, down in the doldrums, no navigation, not knowing where to go. The leaders went, you know where to go. Well, I think I do. I've seen something over there that looks better than where we're at. I haven't seen, because if you go into a river, you're on the banks, you can see the other top of the river bank. You can't always see what's beyond that. That's why the pioneers went first with the binoculars. Yeah. Then you get in the river, you can't see what you first saw, and you wonder, oh my goodness, I wonder if it's really that good over there, because I remember seeing it was good over there, but I'm not sure anymore. I've got a faith problem going on. Did I lead them in the right direction? I can't see what they're doing. I'm not there yet. I should be there first. Be patient. Your pioneers are going to go, it is actually quite fun over here. There's a lot of life happening. Look at this bunch of people over here. They've got good potential, haven't they? Don't know about that side, but this side is really cool. Look, there's some activity already. Young ones, yes. And so the leaders come and they go, yeah, it is good. Now, what else have you seen? What else are you inspired by? What about you? You've crossed over now. Have you seen anything new that you'd like to do?
Yeah, it's a good place for a camp over there.
Yeah, he wants to camp and make a men's ministry again, but that's okay. Because it's a new men's ministry in a new way, yeah. With a new heart, with a new vision, yeah. With a new passion. And he's going to do it.
Yeah.
He's going to do it. My goodness, thank you. The settler, the faithful person, has now found a passion, wow. Found a calling, and now they're going to do it. Thank goodness. The reason why leaders burn out is because they do the work of all the workers. But the workers are not the servants of the leader. The workers are the people who are actually called to go out there and work wonders. We're called to work wonders in the church, and every once in a while we want to go out and have a bit of fun. So then we go out on ministry trips, or we join in some of your activities. But it's the workers, it's the sons and daughters, it's us in the world that's going to make a difference. Can we give a little round of applause to our happy new church? Thank you. So sweet. He's got a lovely, tender, healing heart over there, that man, wherever he is. They used to say, I'm closing now. No, not that I didn't used to say I'm closing. I'm closing now. They used to say that there's only two certainties in life, and what are they?
Death and taxes.
Death and taxes. Okay? I'm dying, so they're going to do stamp duty on me and tax me to death when I'm already dead, or I'm going to pay a huge tax bill, so that's going to kill me. But actually, there's three certainties. There's possibly more, but there's death and taxes and change. Change is a certainty. You can embrace it, or you can ignore it and become a monument in your own life. There's a, and I'll try and finish with this anecdote and then we'll see. If I had a whiteboard, I'd show you this, but I'll do it down here. Sorry, I had to get down on the floor. It's going to do, Patrick. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, Patrick.
Hi, Patrick.
Hello.
So Patrick is my shadow.
Okay.
And he's my vision. I had a vision 10 years ago, right? And it was going to do a certain thing, and it's over there somewhere. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm going to start walking towards it. But he's my vision. And he's only this much, 1% off course. 1% off course. Because of distraction, because of life, because he had to pick the kids up that day, whatever it is. Because the leader said he couldn't do it. Because someone in the family said you can't do it. And so he's the result of people not encouraging him to stick with his vision. And I'm the person who's perfect, of course, and I'm going to go straight for the vision. But you're going to be off course. So what happens? So after about 6 months of going off course, I can still see my vision. It's a bit far away from me, but you know, I'm sort of generally in the right direction. But after a few years of walking off course, this is where I thought I'd be. I thought I'd be at my vision. I saw what it was going to be like. I knew what it would be. I knew the team that would be with me. I knew the thousands of people that would be gathering in stadiums to listen to my business talking. Oh, gosh. But I'm actually over there. Because someone said I couldn't do it. Someone made a series of processes that said I couldn't do it. No one encouraged me. And so my vision's over there. And there's going to come a time in your life where you're going to be standing here and going, and I want to do this today, so you can stand right now and we'll just start doing it. If you just stand. I'm going to keep talking, but I want you to stand. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think back to something that you once dreamed of doing. Anything. I don't care whether you were 5 years old and you wanted to be Prime Minister. I want you to think back to something that you once wanted to do and you've not done it. Father, I just pray for just an outpouring of revelation right now, that people would remember the things you've already planted in your heart, in their hearts. See, most of us know what we're meant to do. We've just forgotten it. Or we've put it behind this thing of, you're too old, you're too young, you're not rich enough, you're not talented enough. In fact, my family's become important, my church has become important, my work's become important. But inside each and every one of us, God has put passions. He's put dreams. He's put possibility. And he's put the talents to make those possibilities come true. So, Father, I just speak now to those dreams. Speak now to those passions. Bring them alight in Jesus' name. Set them on fire. Bring them to the front of the head. Bring them to mind right now. Ideas, creativity, business thoughts, outreach thoughts, books to write, things to build, innovation, paintings, Lord, art, creativity, music, songs to write, songs to sing, Lord, new ways to play the keyboard. I don't know, Lord, but creativity. We release creativity now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, business ideas, strategies, ministries, Lord, ways of getting into the lost, into the hurting, into the young, into the old, into the drugs, Lord, into the gangs, Lord, into politics, into school. We just lift up ideas. We just ask you, Lord, to rekindle ideas of transforming schools and universities, Lord, and teaching, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just release that creativity now, Lord. Release it, Lord. And I just want to say, if you've remembered something that you would have loved to have done, but you've never done it, can you just raise your hand? Just raise it up. Father, we just thank you for those that have remembered. We thank you, Lord, that you've just brought clarity to some people about something, Lord. Can't move a stationary ship. So if you've got something today that you've said, yeah, I always wanted to do that, then Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would just give them that first step, that you'd put them around wise people, would help them to take that step forward. And for those that haven't come to mind yet, we just release the spirit of revelation. Spirit of revelation, come, Lord. Holy Spirit, just come, Lord, just to reveal things, Lord. We were not made for no purpose. We were purposefully, frightfully, wonderfully well made for a purpose. And we declare that now, and we just release that spirit of revelation. Just be prepared for tonight for something to pop into your head, for you to be driving along the road and to see a sign that just literally is a sign of something you should be doing. Be prepared for a friend to ring you and say something that just kindles something or invite you to do something. Be prepared for dreams and visions. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
On what Kim was saying, I'll just take it a bit further. About 15 years ago, I was praying with somebody and he turned around to me and says, I've got a vision. I said, yeah? He says, I've got a vision that people will be able to go to places where there's no fresh, clean water, and I'm going to create something that's going to be make them able to drink clean water immediately, and it's not going to be expensive. I looked at him and said, you're an idiot. You're an absolute idiot. There's no way. And I don't know if you've seen on the internet recently, there's a straw that you can buy that you can go to dirty water and drink it. That's creativity. That's the sort of stuff that God will release into people's minds. Don't be scared about the impossible. Rather, be encouraged.
Yeah, very good. Very good. If I get the band, come and join me on stage. We're going to... Kim, stay standing, because Kim said something at the beginning. He said, this is like the refreshment time. We get the oranges and we get the energizing input to go out to the real game. And so if this was our soccer practice, and if I was the coach, then I would be making sure that I had an eye on each of my team members to help them to see what they needed at the soccer practice, at the coaching time. And for some players, I would know that what they really needed was a morale boost. They'd need me to get down and look them in the eye and say, "You are special. You are a great winger. You are so fast when you take that ball down the wing. You have the ability to put the ball into the goal, and I need you on my team because you're the right person for the job." And there's a real shot in the arm, a boost. And for some of you today, what you need is a boost from your Father in heaven. We're going to have some prophetic ministry time where God will speak and release and activate promises in you. Some people will come to practice in, like Nikki, they got a bit of a limp going on because of what's happened during the week, or a strain or a sprain. And so if I'm the coach, then I'm going to make sure that there's a physio there to massage the injury and to make sure the treatment is there, or the ointment is there, or the bandage is there to strengthen what was weak in order that it would be strong again. Some of you are here today feeling a wound, a weakness, a strain, something's just holding you back from what Kim's been talking about. And again, we'd love to pray with you to bring the healing balm of the Holy Spirit into your realm to transform and change you in the same way Nikki's testimony was that she received healing today. Some of you, it's about strengthening you or repositioning you. And you might be listening to Kim's message and saying, "Oh, I don't know if I'm a pioneer or a leader, or what was the guy carrying the backpack? Like, where do I fit?" And so what we can do today through prayer is we can affirm what God says about you and connect you into something bigger. And so we're going to ask the band to do song 3 again. Yeah, is that okay?
Yep.
We do that. And we're going to just create some space. And if you want to respond where you are, that's great. God will meet you where you are, because God always responds to a willing heart who's open to Him. If you'd like to come forward and have someone stand with you, to pray with you, to encourage you, to release some of those prophetic promises, or to bring an agreement and faith for healing, then we'd love to do that as well. So we're going to take some time now. If that doesn't apply to you, then they encourage you to sit there and pray for those who do respond. I encourage you to ask God for leadership. God, am I a pioneer? Is there something you're calling me into? Is there something you'd spur me onto? Because this is our halftime break. This is our orange break. This is where we get refreshed, energized, and strengthened as God's team in this church family for what He's called us to do. And I pray that you bring your needs to Him, because I know that our Heavenly Father desires to meet our needs. Let's sing and keep it quiet. And if you want to respond to the front, then we'll have some prayer available for you.